You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Me okay? Great. Okay. As Cherry said, I'm Tim, one of the leaders here at Christian Life Church. I'd like to add my welcome to everybody else's and welcome online. It's great to have you with us. I do want to actually give another plug to International Sunday next Sunday, even though JP's done it. Just to say why we do International Sunday, we want to celebrate that the church, according to the Bible, is a church all over the world. It's one church that belongs to Jesus, and it says that even in heaven, there will be people from every nation, every tribe, every peoples, and every language. So in heaven, there will be still international every day. So we are an international church. We're really blessed to have some people from a few people from various nations, not all nations, but also we're called to the nations. Jesus called us to go and make disciples of all nations. So if you I normally come dressed as an English person, so next Sunday for a change I'll be coming dressed as another nation. But if you want to dress up as your own nation or a different nation, that'd be great. You won't be on your own looking out of place. So that'd be great. If you want to bring a flag of your nation, that would be great. If you bring it in the week, maybe we'll put it up. And the main reason that we have International Sunday is that after the service, we will be eating food from all the nations. So please, it's a bring and share meal after the service. So please stay, bring plenty of food, and it'd be great to have your dishes from your nation. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And we have a great speaker, Linda Jeevanathan, great speaker. Okay, I just wonder, we are in a series at the moment about Jesus. That's a good subject for a church to preach. But we're looking at stories about Jesus and some of the teachings from the Gospel of Gospels, teachings of Jesus. So I want to read now a story of Jesus, and you might have heard this story, you might never have read this story, that's fine. I want, as you read it, if you've read it before, if you know this story, don't just switch off and think, I know this, but read it, as I read it, listen with fresh ears, because God can speak to us. God speaks to us through the Bible, through his word. And so the context of this story, as Jesus has been teaching big crowds by the side of a lake, and for some of that time he was stood in a boat to have a bit of distance from the crowd and to be able to project his voice to the crowd. And then we pick up the story in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the screen, the bits in red are the words of Jesus. Some Bibles, the words of Jesus are in red, and I decided to go with that today. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Peace, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." My title today is of my preach is that Jesus calms our storms. Jesus calms our storms. Now, it might be the first time you've read that story, but for some of you, we'll have read it many times. And as I say, sometimes we don't really listen because we've read it so many times. But when I read it as I was preparing, I noticed there's some odd words and odd behavior from Jesus. I know it might be blasphemed to say, but it seems odd. For instance, the boat is nearly swamped with water, and he's asleep in the back. Doesn't that seem odd? I don't think it's a massive ship. It's a small boat getting swamped, and he's asleep. And then he says to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid?" Doesn't that seem like an obvious thing? We're going to drown, therefore we're afraid. Seems obvious. And so it seems that some normal human reaction to this situation would be to be afraid, yeah? I would be afraid if I thought. And they were experienced sailors. They knew what was going on, but they thought they were going to drown. So they were reasonably, humanly scared. And so it seems that Jesus didn't behave or speak in the norms of human behavior. And God, Jesus, God, is expecting a different reaction. So my research assistant, Adriana, my wife, was recently doing a study on Mark, and she looked up a bit about the book of Mark. So there's four Gospels. Mark is one of them. And it says that Mark was written for unbelievers. Mark focuses on what Jesus did. And interestingly, it says that what Jesus did often provoked one of two reactions. It provoked faith or fear. So Jesus did stuff, and often the reaction was fear or faith. Fear in this situation seems completely humanly reasonable, but God is looking for faith. God is looking for faith. Jesus, in that situation, God was looking for faith. So I want to talk about faith, but I also want to talk about peace. Jesus spoke, "Peace be still." And I want to talk about two kinds of peace that Jesus gives. Firstly, Jesus gives inner peace. Now in this, can we go back to the first part of the scripture? Jesus says in the first, he says in the first red bit, "Let us go over to the other side." He states his destination, and then he goes to sleep. He's at peace. Jesus is at peace. Now, I want to talk something a bit different, like a destination, but bigger, and that's destiny. A destiny, what I'm talking about is that God has a plan, a purpose, a calling for each one of us, like a destiny. And so Jesus had a plan. God had a plan for Jesus, and God had a plan for each of our lives, a destiny, if you like. And our destiny is in God's hands. It's not in the circumstances that surround us. Need to just say that again. Our destiny, our calling, our purpose, our plan that God's got for our lives is in God's hands. It's not as in the circumstances of our life. Jesus set out onto a lake that was notorious for having storms, and yet he was not worried. He was in peace. He went to sleep. He knew that his life, his calling, his destiny was in the Father's hands. He knew that his destiny was to die on a cross, and therefore he couldn't drown. You get that? His calling from God was to die on a cross, so he couldn't drown. There was, in the time of his ministry, there was times that people got upset with him and tried to throw him off a cliff. But that couldn't happen because Jesus was destined to die on a cross. And he says, his time had not come, and he just passed through the crowd. Because his destiny was not shaped by the crowd around him. His destiny, his calling, was shaped by God. Now, he was at peace about his destiny, but he was not lazy about it. He didn't just say, hey, it's in God's hand, it'll happen. No, he worked hard, and he trusted God. He had faith in his Father. You, all of you, have a calling, a destiny from God. Something that God's called you to do in your life. And you have to work to find it and do it, but it's not in your own ability. It's in God's hands. And we can often think that the storms of life, the circumstances, might derail us from our destiny and take us off of what God's planned for it, but it can't, because our destiny is in God's hands. And God is bigger than the storm. God does not bet, if you like, our destiny in the circumstances of life. He may use the circumstances of life, but he's not bound by them. Our destiny is bound up in our nature, identity, and his calling on our lives. At this point, I was going to show you a seed, but I forgot it. So imagine this seed in my hand. It would have been a tamarind seed, which is about that size, 1 centimetre, dark brown, or nearly black. And a seed has a destiny. The destiny of the tamarind seed is to become a tamarind tree. Now, its destiny can't be changed. I can decide its destination, but not its destiny. I can plant it here, there, anywhere. And being the gardener that I am, I can really ruin its destiny. I can change its I can change whether it fulfills its destiny or not. If I look after it, I plant it and I water it, I keep it warm, it can grow into a tamarind tree. If it's in a windy place, it might get a bit deformed, but I cannot make it become a different tree. So what God has got for you is tied up in the seed of the Word of God that you believe when you became a Christian. You understand what I'm saying? That God has got a calling for you. He's got a plan for your life. You can't change his plan. You can't change his mind. But the thing is, God is the gardener as well. If I was your gardener of your life, like I am the gardener of my garden, you should be very worried. But God is the gardener of our life. When we become Christians, when we accept Jesus as Lord, God becomes our Father and he is the gardener of life. It says we are born again by the seed, the Word of God, and our nature is renewed. We have a new nature within us. It might only be like a little seed, but God wants that to grow into the nature that God has created, which is the nature is a child of God. So we become like God. We are becoming like God. But as well as we're all children of God, each of us has an individual, unique calling on our lives. And when we fulfill that calling, we bear fruit for God. We bear fruit for God, which is the fulfillment of what God's called for. And God looks for fruit. And so I want to say that whatever the circumstance of your life, and you may look at your life now and think you are in a storm, not necessarily a literal storm, there are many storms in our lives, yeah? Anybody ever gone through a storm in their lives? Yeah, well, you're either, well, very blessed or not admitting it. But we will go through storms in our life. We cannot trust in the hope that everything will go to plan, everything will go right. It won't. Everything will not go right in your life. That doesn't change the calling that God's got for you. And so I'm sure that many of you right now are going through some kind of storm in your life, because just by law of averages. It might be financial storms, it might be relationship storms, it might be stuff in your job, or whatever circumstances, but we go through stuff in our life that really can be a worry to us. Amen? Anybody never worried in their life? No. We all have worries. But the fact is that the destiny of your life is in God's hands. Your boss can't change the destiny that God's got for your life. Your husband or your wife, your bank manager, your bank account, your church, whatever, can change circumstances around you, but they can't change the destiny that God's got for your life. You might be in a storm, but God will not allow that seed he's put in, that destiny he's called you to be killed, because it's an imperishable seed. It's a seed in your life that can't be killed. And God is also God of the circumstances. God is even God of the storm. Yeah? Whatever storm you're going through at the moment, God is the God of the storm. And Jesus proved that. So our destiny is in God's hands, not in the circumstances around us. I also want to say that Jesus is always in your boat. Jesus was in the boat
before he woke up. He was already in the boat. Before he calmed the storm, he was in the boat. And as I said, Jesus was safe in the boat even before he woke up, even if he'd never woken up. Because God knew, and Jesus knew, that he was going to go to the other side of the lake, and one day he was going to go to Jerusalem to die on a cross to pay for our sins. So he's not going to drown. Do you know what? As Christians, we are in Christ. Christ is safe. We are safe. Doesn't mean to say that life will go as we want. But if you're in Christ, you can have peace in the middle of a storm. You can have peace. That's the first kind of peace I want to talk about. Jesus and God, they're looking for faith. In that situation, when Jesus woke up, he was looking for faith. He said, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Fear is the enemy of faith. I heard somebody say recently, where fear exists, faith can't exist. Where faith exists, fear cannot exist. And we fear because our faith fails. And we have faith, but sometimes our faith fails. Sometimes we feel we don't have enough. And so we need to, that's what I'm saying, we need to trust in God, not in our circumstances. God is the God of the circumstances. So in every situation, whether we're calm or storm, we need to put our faith in God. And that's where our peace comes from. Now, is our destiny inevitable? Is it inevitable that God will fulfill what he's called once in our life? Is it inevitable? Put your hands up if you think that's inevitable. Put your hands up if you're not sure. It depends on your theology. Really. I don't believe any circumstance can take us away from what God calls us. I think it's in our faith. Do you know, it talks in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about a generation of people who were called to go into a promise, into a destined land, a promised land. And it says they didn't go because of their lack of faith, their unbelief. See, a storm or circumstance in our life cannot blow us away from our destiny unless the storm causes us to lose our faith. Get that? So what the enemy wants is that the storms of life take away our faith. If we don't lose our faith, we'll fulfill our destiny. Do you know, Peter, there's a guy in the New Testament, followed Jesus, guy called Peter, that he went through a big time of testing. The time of testing was Jesus was arrested, and he was arrested and was going to be tried. And Peter followed him, watched from a distance. And somebody said to Peter, "You're one of his followers." And he denied it because he didn't want to get arrested. He was afraid. The fear caused him to deny Jesus. But before that, this is a beautiful thing. Jesus said to Peter, "You're going to deny me 3 times. And he did. He denied Jesus 3 times. But Jesus said to Peter, "I have prayed for you." Do you know Jesus intercedes for us? Does anybody know what Jesus prayed for Peter? Yeah?
Your faith will fail not.
Yeah. Jesus didn't pray that Peter would pass the test. Peter failed the test. He prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. And Jesus and Peter came back to Jesus. We will all of us fail at some stage. All of us probably will handle our troubles wrong, and our faith will seemingly go. But Jesus prays for us that our faith will not fail. And so Jesus is there praying for our faith to not fail. And sometimes it wavers. but it can come back because Jesus prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And when our faith doesn't fail, we can have peace because we put our trust in God. But I want to say that God is also the God that can calm your storm, that can change the circumstances, that can change your situation. And that's the second kind of peace. God is the God that can give you peace in your circumstances and say to your situation, your storms, peace, be still. But he's also the God that sometimes says to our hearts, have peace, even in the storm. So to some of you, I believe God wants to speak really deeply to some people. So some people who want to say, I'm the God of the storm, I want to still the storm, I'm going to speak to the storm and still the storm in your life. To some people, he wants to say, I'm the God that can still the storm, but I'm not going to just yet, but I'm giving you peace in the storm. God wants to minister peace today in whatever situation. And for some of you, he might still the storm. Others, he wants to give you peace in the storm. Jesus said this to his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus also said, in this world you will have trouble. But here he says, let not your hearts be troubled. So we can be in trouble, and our hearts are at peace. And God wants to do that for some people today. It says in Philippians that the peace of God is a peace that passes all understanding. It's beyond all understanding. Why? Because we can have peace when, humanly speaking, we shouldn't have peace because of the situations. Is my mic gone off? Battery. This one work? No.
Still working.
What was I saying? Is this working?
It's on at this end. Yeah, okay, great. What was I saying? No, it's peace, yeah. Yeah, the peace that is beyond understanding is because, humanly speaking, we should be worried. But God gives us a peace that's beyond all understanding. I was talking to somebody, I heard a story earlier about somebody who had peace when a circumstance happened. I don't know if you're happy to share it now. You okay to share that now? Yeah? Okay, Henry, this is Henry. Well, come on, Henry. Henry, I heard a story of Henry. Yeah, come on. So what's your story, Henry?
Hello. I'm not the most articulate, so forgive me for that. No, it was only about, just over a month ago, we got a letter through from HMRC to say, oh, you owe a crazy amount in tax, as I hadn't been evading. I was just something I hadn't budgeted for. And then for the first few days, obviously, a big worry about it because I was trying to handle it myself, you see, and hadn't thought in arrogance, hadn't thought to give it over to God. And then after a couple of days, I thought, God, I'm just going to give this to you. It's in your hands. I trust you through this. And yeah, it's all gone away. And just not the thing itself. I think sometimes God just does allow us to go through things to, and we don't necessarily understand why, but his peace has definitely put upon me through that situation. And just reminds me of a couple of passages from what Jesus said about, you know, through worrying, you can't add a single day to your life. And so the Bible says that God will provide all my needs through everything. So I just, it's just, yeah, complete peace. I'm not wording it very well, but obviously the situation's there, but it's just, I just have faith that God will completely be there through the situation. It's a worry that's just, the worry's gone. Because I know that the bigger picture, God will be there after this situation's gone. And once you know that you're saved, I mean, what more peace can you have than that? And as you were saying, it's definitely the peace that passes all understanding. And it's a peace that nothing or no one else can give. It's unique from.
Has anybody ever had any financial worries? No. And so, yeah, the tax man, yeah, we can maybe pray that the tax man will change his mind, but even if he doesn't, we can have peace. And that's what I believe God wants to give today. Peace to many people here, that you're going through something that you need God's peace. Because as Henry said, worrying can't change the situation. But it is an amazing testimony when we have peace, when the whole world says we should be worrying. So I want to pray. God really wants to minister people. But the first I want to pray for anybody here, anybody online, that you've never made a commitment to follow Jesus. The Bible says there's another kind of peace. I've talked about the peace of God, the peace that God gives, but there's also a peace with God. The Bible says is that before we put our trust in Jesus, we're enemies of God because of our sin, but we can have peace with God when we put our faith in Jesus, commit our lives to Jesus. We can have forgiveness of sins and peace with God. So I want to pray a prayer. And if you've never prayed a prayer or you may have made a decision to follow Jesus, it's an opportunity now just to pray along with me and make a declaration of commitment to follow Jesus, to trust him for forgiveness of your sins. So I want us all to close our eyes and I'm going to pray. And if you want to pray that this morning, if you want to pray online, also, you can pray, and God will meet you as you pray. Father, I thank you, Jesus, that your destiny was to die on a cross, to take away our sins and bring us forgiveness. I want to put my faith in you now. I want to follow you, and I ask you to forgive me, give me your spirit, so that I can live a life for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, then I'd love to chat to you afterwards. We'd love to pray with you. Give you some materials that really help you walk with God. If you're doing that online, you want to connect with us, email us. We can really help you walk in your faith with God. I want to pray now. Can we stand as I pray? I just believe that God wants to minister his peace in many people's hearts. You know, the Bible says, if you just want to receive prayer for whatever situation, if it's financial, whatever, that you know that you need God's peace, could you just put your hand up? I want to pray for you. And I want to say that the Bible says that those who Christians, believers, are given the authority to declare peace. To declare peace. He said to his disciples, when you go to a house, say peace be on this house. And that's not a physical building, that's a family person. If there's somebody near you with a hand up, I just want you to go and place your hand on them, if that's okay with them. Keep your hand up until somebody has come to pray for you. If you've not got your hand up, let's go and pray for these people. We're going to declare peace, and peace will come from God's Holy Spirit. Is anybody with a hand up that's not? If there's somebody praying for you, somebody come to pray for you, put your hand down. If you're needing somebody to pray for you, okay. Peace is coming right now. God wants to give his peace. Jesus said, peace I give you. So while I pray, if Murray could come and just play, we're going to give plenty of time. If Murray could come and just play for us. Father, thank you for your promise that you said, peace I give you, not as the world gives. And I thank you that promise is true today, that you speak those words, peace be still, to our hearts. I want to speak. We want to speak to hearts here that need your peace. Peace be still. Peace be still. In the Psalms it says, be still and know that I am God. I pray these hearts that need your peace would know that you are God of all the circumstances. For I pray for circumstances to change, but I pray mainly that your in hearts that are worried, your peace will reign right now. Peace, let your peace come. Just keep declaring peace to the people you're praying for. Peace be still. Let not your hearts be troubled. Holy Spirit, come now. Come bring your peace. Come bring your peace. Cherif said at the beginning, if you feel God is giving you a word for somebody here, then please feel free to bring it. If you believe that God is showing you particular situations then that people need to know, speak particularly into people's lives, then come and share that. I believe God also wants to heal physically. Maybe even, yeah, I believe God also wants to speak peace into troubled minds, troubled emotions. If you struggle with mental health, God wants to speak to your heart. Father, I pray for those that might be struggling with mental health, emotional health. I pray that you'd come and speak your peace, Lord, into those hearts. Pray for anxiety to be gone. We'll pray in Jesus' name that anxiety would be healed by your peace, Lord. Feel you'd like to pray for somebody in the room, don't feel left to stand where you are. If you want to go and pray for somebody that God puts on your heart, just go and offer to pray. Don't force yourself on them. Just go and say, can I pray for you? If you feel God wants you to pray for somebody here, feel free to. Sense of peace really coming, deep peace coming over some people over in this area of the room. God's not favoring you, he just knows that you need a peace to come. Pray for those financial situations that are causing worry. You give peace, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give peace. For those health situations, those waiting for tests and waiting for results, pray you give peace, Lord. Peace beyond understanding, in Jesus' name.
Just been reminded to just make this prayer, and I completely agree with what you're saying this morning. about what God wants to do. So what God is laying in my heart is just for us to speak as people who has authority over things, over situations. And if we remember that story, they were moving over to the other side, and the other side was to minister to a madman from Gadara, a man who has lost his mental health, a man who has lost a lot, just hopeless, without any light at the end of his tunnel. And it's amazing that this wind came to impede the progress. And I'm just reminded there could be people here who want to move over to the other side of their lives, who want to make progress, who want God, probably God is reaching out to you as a family, and there's this wind that is opposing that movement, that is opposing that transition, that is opposing that growth. And so this morning, if we just join our faith together and begin to speak over our lives and speak over our situation and say, peace be still. Bible says he rebuked the wind. He rebuked them. He spoke as someone who was under authority and the authority of God. So this morning has given us that authority. He said, I've given you power in an authority. We can speak this morning. So I expect us, just open your mouth this 1 minute or so and just begin to speak over every wind. Every wind and every storm that is stopping this transition, stopping this growth, stopping this transformation, stopping this, you know, this move, as it were, this move of God, just impeding that progress in that family, in that life. We speak, Lord, in the name of Jesus, peace be still to every mind. Peace be still, Lord. Peace be still over every family. Lord, we come against these contrary winds in the name of Jesus that is blowing across the atmosphere, blowing over nations, blowing over society, blowing over families, bringing depression and darkness. We just speak against such in the name of Jesus. We pray that the transition, the promise, he said, let us move over to the other side. Lord, prophetically, we move people across to the other side of their lives, across to the good side of their life, across to the promises that God has given to them this year. We move them by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I was also at the Orchard Conference that Cherith couldn't stop talking about because it was awesome. And they did talk about fear during this conference. Why am I bringing this up? Because I had a big decision to make. And I came wrestling with this decision. And it didn't take long for me to realize that God was giving me assurances during that day. But the most important thing was gradually, through the day, he was giving me more and more and more peace. But it took that long, and it took gradually throughout the day, because I realized that I was holding fear. And fear had become so huge, so dominant, so overwhelming. And I realized I had invited fear. I cannot be the only one. When you're thinking of all the things that could go wrong, you're counting the cost of a decision you have to make or certain circumstances in your life, I'm sure I'm not the only one that invites fear. And I realized I'd filled myself with such fear, and I had to lay it down. And I had to say to God, okay, I've got to let this go. And letting it go is hard. It's like ripping something that's got vines and tendrils around your soul, ripping it out. It hurts, it's hard. But as the more and more that I was able to do that, to release fear, the more and more and more peace God was able to flow and fill the gap that was left. And I thought I really needed to share that today, because, like I said, I cannot be the only one that likes to fill the gap of peace with fear, right?
So if you know you're invited fear, let's invite faith to come. You know, the Bible says that God gives faith. gives faith. It's a gift from God. So, Father, we invite faith, Lord. We ask you for faith in the place of our fear. In Jesus' name. I also want to pray for those who need healing. If you want to receive healing, you want someone to pray for you, just put your hand up and then somebody will come and pray for you. So the hand here. So if you would like to go to those that have got their hands up, pray for those. Can we move if you're not got your hand up? Could you just pray for those that need healing? Particularly feel that God wants to heal somebody who've got a concern over a heart issue, heart valve. God wants to heal you there. So please, if somebody's got their hand up, yeah, great. If somebody's praying for you, you can put your hand down. We just want to make sure everybody's prayed for.